Welcome to Bruderhof Radio, a bi-monthly program broadening the bounds of discourse on progressive thought and action. I'm your host, Andrew Zimmerman. Never before in the history of the world have so many people been incarcerated under one flag. This year, the United States prison population exceeded 2 million, with increasing numbers serving time for nonviolent drug-related offenses. But while politicians strive to be tough on crime, funding for programs that are truly rehabilitative has been on the decline. Today's so-called correctional facilities are focused more on warehousing humans than on any kind of corrective action. And with higher and higher rates of recidivism, things will probably get much worse before there is a decision to overhaul the system. Still, it didn't always used to be that way. At its inception, the typical State Department of Corrections was an institution committed to producing changed people. And even today, in the small number of facilities still permitting some form of rehabilitation, the success of these efforts remains high. Bruderhof Radio presents one such program in a special hour-long documentary, coming up next. For the past 18 years, approximately 15 inmates from across New York State have transferred to the infamous Sing Sing prison for a year of intensive study administered by the Manhattan-based New York Theological Seminary. Upon completing the coursework, the inmates receive a Master's of Professional Studies, equivalent to 1 year of traditional theological seminary. To find out more about the program, Bruderhof Radio traveled to Sing Sing, where we met with participants in this year's master's degree class. Today, we'll hear them discuss how the program started and how participation in the program affects their relations with other inmates and prison staff. Although by no means novel or unique, the opinions expressed are significant because they come, so to speak, from the belly of the beast. Bill Weber, a professor at New York Theological Seminary, has been the program's director for 18 years. He describes how it was founded amid the turbulence following the 1972 prison riots in Attica, New York.
After Attica, which was a terrible event in New York State, when the prison men rolled in the prison and they sent in the state troopers and there were a number of deaths, led the public, the press, and others to say, we've got to find out what's going on in our prison system. And the governor then and the department made a major commitment to be a correction system, to offer any inmate that wanted a chance to turn his life around by providing education programs, substance abuse programs. And colleges discovered they could come in and offer college degrees to an inmate who had a GED. And this was paid for by federal Pell Grants. So that what happened was in 5 or 10 years, a number of inmates who had really turned their lives around and made use of that still had time in their sentences, and they got together with a chaplain and said, we've got to do some more graduate, we've got to do some study, we've got to have a graduate degree. And since many of them were in his faith community, they came to New York Seminary and said, Bill, do you know there are 100 men or more in the state system, maybe 300 or 400, who have a college degree, and they're dying to get some more education. You've got to do a graduate degree program for them. And we said, quite simply, that's what New York Seminary exists to do. We can respond, but you'll never get permission from the Department of Correction to have a Protestant seminary offer a master's program in state prisons. He said, that's my problem. What I didn't know was that after Attica, in order to get African-American and Hispanic chaplains who are relevant to the inmates in the prison system for the first time, mm-hmm. and to help make it a better ministerial program, they'd hired an African-American pastor from Harlem to be the assistant commissioner to develop it. And he was just waiting in Albany to be made famous by starting the first master's program in a prison. So with great cooperation, the system agreed that they would transfer every year 15 men from all over the state, whom we selected, to Sing Sing for an intensive graduate year, with the understanding that the inmates then would commit themselves, in return for a year of free education and a master's degree, to help other inmates as long as they were in prison. That's how it got started. And it was fascinating because the statistics indicate that if an inmate, man or woman, managed to get a college degree in prison, it cut the recidivism rate in half. So with the federal government paying the cost of tuition, it was saving the government of New York State maybe as much as $100,000 or more for every inmate that got it in recidivism costs over the long haul. And then if you took our master's program on top of it, it meant that something like 6%, it cut that recidivism rate almost down to nothing, because this gives men credentials when they get out mm-hmm. to get a job. We have been blessed by the system in allowing the inmates to be full-time assigned to our care. Whereas you go to college, you work two morning or afternoon, go to college at night. In this case, they're totally responsible for us. So what they do is they're transferred here from all over the state, the 16 or 17 men we want. They go to school every morning from 9 to 12, and we send in top-notch faculty. There, it's not an adjunct faculty. This is just a classroom in New York Seminary, 30 miles up the Hudson. And they get a 42-credit degree. Then in the afternoon or evening, they are assigned to supervise ministry, where they're involved in work with other inmates, pre-release clerks, doing substance abuse programs. They're involved in developing their own skills in ministry, and then they have either afternoon or evening free with a fine library in the study hall that we provide. So that it's quite unusual to have a program where we can take these men and have them fully involved in our program for this academic year, which makes it a very powerful impact. Because we're much concerned that they continue to mature as human beings, develop their own sense of identity and faith commitments, and develop their skills that they can use when they get out, as we are that they learn something in the head. The result of this is that the state government, a year ago now, gave the seminary a great deal of money to use our alumni who are out as youth workers, as workers with youth at risk in Harlem, East Harlem, and Bed-Stuy. And it's a remarkable program. It was initially called Youth at Risk, using these graduates as wonderful role models, terrific opportunity for them. Though recently the youth have demanded they change the name because they say we're not youth at risk now, so it's called Youth Turn. But it indicates the value of our graduates to society.
The 17 men who graduated with master's degrees this June came across as thoughtful, eloquent, focused, and well-read. They have waited anywhere from 2 to 5 years to be accepted in the program, having already obtained bachelor's degrees elsewhere in the prison system. Most are serving long sentences of 10 to 20 years. But as George, a program participant, hurries to point out, the advantages of being a model prisoner are not always clearly to be felt.
The general population do not actually agree with the program, or they see us as being different than them, or they may think that we feel that we're different than them. So we're being attacked in that sense. The administration throws obstacles in our way, so we have to constantly encourage each other to keep on with the struggle to go through the program.
My name is Aishan. And to kind of dovetail on what George was saying about the guys in the general population, there is a degree of envy, but there's also a degree of admiration from some of our fellow inmates. Many of them look up to us for having gone through the academic steps to get to this point. Many of them do not understand what it takes to get to this point, and therefore, through their lack of understanding, they may express some enmity toward us. But basically and essentially, even the ones who do not express the admiration, I think that they secretly admire what we do. Part of this program entails a year of pastoral counseling as well as the other academic work that we do. And within the context of pastoral counseling, we are taught to administer to everyone in every occasion, in any way that we possibly can. And based upon the nature of the facility and the nature of the ignorance and the psychological, you know, depression within the context of the facility, we end up doing a lot of administering to our fellow inmates. We have another aspect to the program that is called a field study. What the field study entails, basically, is anywhere, any part of the facility that has a program that is service-oriented, for example, ASAT, ART, these are programs that deal with nonviolence or drug abuse or AIDS awareness or any other kind of programs, including religious programs such as the Protestant chapel or the Catholic chapel or the pre-release center that needs qualified people to explain things to the inmate population, to interact with the inmate population on as many levels as possible, we literally sign a contract that for the duration of the semesters, the two semesters that we're here, we would serve on a voluntary basis at least three times a week within the context of that program. And it's actually an accredited part of the Masters of Professional Study. So in addition to the academic work that we're doing, we're literally doing hands-on work with people to show what it is exactly that we're learning within the context of the program. And that kind of give us the practical experience that we need. Even though many of us here